This is Sunny, coming to you from my backyard in the Superior Highlands in Lake County, Minnesota. It's the end of February. It's still cold and snowy and dark too much, but the dark is shrinking. Cold and snow isn't as bad in daylight compared to darkness. And getting home from work during sunset is so much better than getting home in the dark. And for everyone who likes to play in the snow, there's more daylight to do that. We are, after all, sturdy northern people. Or, doing the opposite of anthropomorphizing here, sturdy northern mutts. Most of us aren't purebreds, no fancy warm weather breeds, nope. We have evolved, just from living here, into survivors. And into sort of a subspecies, if you will, that flourishes in a harsh climate. Those of us who aren't of Finnish heritage end up having sisu anyway, by having to deal with winter and the trials, tribulations, and failures it brings. Some winters, failure comes on a pretty regular basis, and in dramatic fashion. I remember one time, plowing down the really steep hill that used to be at the bottom of my driveway. I was probably going too fast, and it got hung up on the bank of snow. Gravity, mass, and speed weren't my friends that day, and our momentum swung the back end of the truck around backwards, and fast. This all happened in about a split second. And then the plow disengaged from its stuck spot, of course, and I found myself sliding backwards, picking up speed. The brakes didn't do anything. The steering wheel didn't do anything. And at the bottom of my driveway is a county road. But on the other side of the county road, there's about a 10-foot drop into the headwaters of the Knife River. Just when I had the thought, I'm gonna die, a miracle occurred. The back end of the plow truck that was hurtling down the hill jumped the snowbank, crashed through the trees and the brush, about 20 yards of it, and smacked into a giant maple tree, coming to a stop. Luckily, it was all backwards, so the front end of the truck wasn't hurt. I wasn't hurt. A number of small trees gave their lives, but that couldn't be helped. A really, really good friend later got the whole operation out of the woods by hooking up an engine-operated come-along and attaching it tree to tree, pulling it out foot by foot. It was all a pretty terrifying experience, but you know, if we didn't have these, we might get cocky. And they lend themselves to having a pretty sick sense of humor. Mother Nature and machines, they don't let you stay confident for very long. February is the sucker moon, or red sucker moon, according to the First People of Lake Superior. This isn't the hardest month of winter. No, that's coming up. But this is the beginning of the end of winter. Small cracks begin appearing in that tough shell. The days are getting longer, and by mid-February, you can actually feel the warmth of the sun again. The resident pair of ravens, Bud and Gladys, are doing their spring dance, flying high up into the sky, making all sorts of happy raven noises, and then diving down and around each other over and over until they get into the treetops and swoop around and go up and do it all again. The chickadees are singing their spring song, too. At some point during February, the evening grosbeaks left my backyard and pine grosbeaks appeared. I've had both in past winters sitting next to each other on the bird feeders, so I know that one doesn't chase away the other. Maybe it got too cold and snowy for the evening grosbeaks. I was up on the roof one day, shoveling all the snow off. Yes, roofs can and do collapse here underneath the weight of all the snow. I was up there shoveling away, and I got the feeling that something was watching me. Sure enough, when I looked over into the treetops, there was about 2 dozen pine grosbeaks all perched on big branches and all puffed out against the cold, and they were all staring at me. Kind of like, what's she doing? The chickadees were dive-bombing me when I was up there, too, and buzzing by my head. I was apparently invading their space. The nuthatches, downy and hairy woodpeckers, goldfinches, and blue jays are all still here. I miss the purple finches and the redpolls. Hopefully they'll show up next year when the conifers produce a cone crop and provide them with food. Pileated woodpeckers are everywhere, swooping through the bare trees, calling out all of their jungle cries. Snowshoe hares are abundant this year. Some years you don't see hardly any, but this year there are a lot. You can see their tracks in the snow every morning. As one of my friends put it, it looks like they had a party. February is mating season for timber wolves and red squirrels. Black bear cubs are born in late January and early February, in the dens with their hibernating mothers. Less than 3 months now until the arrival of the first hummingbirds. Owls frequently hang out around bird feeders to catch rodents that congregate there. We have a lot of different species of owls, but mostly I see barred owls. Just like the caribou convert the tundra vegetation into protein, here in the backyard, the rodents convert vegetation into protein. One really cold and windy day in February, something caught my eye up on a maple branch. I went outside with the binoculars and saw a huge barred owl up in a tree. Huge because it was all puffed up against the cold. It was, no doubt, waiting for rodents underneath the bird feeder. Its brown, gray, and white feathers blended perfectly against the bark of the maple tree. I never would have noticed it, except for the wind blowing its feathers. The sun was setting at the time, and the sky was a brilliant background of color, orange and pink and peach. I was crouched behind a mountain of plowed-up snow, hiding. Barred owls don't let you get close, just like ravens. And I had one of those aha moments. When I first moved here, my senses weren't tuned in to the big picture, and I only had those feelings when I had a close encounter with a moose or a wolf. But now with the moose numbers way down and the wolves being hunted, and maybe it's even the passing of all these years in the woods, but whatever the case, the picture widens in your brain and you start to see and appreciate the smaller miracles of survival. Watching that barred owl in the tree with all those dark bare trees behind it, and then all those brilliant colors behind that, all I could think of was that old Ash Wednesday chant, "Remember, man, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." Maybe armed with sisu and a little compassion, some of us can make a positive difference in this world before we go back to our dusty origins. Well, this is Sunny signing off. I can't wait to talk to you next month. Thank you for listening to Lake County Journal on WTIP. Stay warm, drive carefully, and don't forget to be grateful.